again, getting back to the question at hand has to do with, you're talking about the dangers of these shelter numbers. I think that when we talked to Community Action Board worker Sandy Brown, who worked with Paul Brindell of the Shelter Project, came to City Council on November 10th, and they together put together the latest shelter emergency report, which admitted explicitly for the first time in terms of actual numbers that the both the winter and the summer shelter was inadequate. There were people outside, and given a sleeping ban, that means after 11 they were either illegal or they stayed asleep without covering up with blankets. That's, and there is no other way to read it. If you're outside after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz and you fall asleep, that's a crime. Even if you're a well-dressed person, theoretically, it's a crime. Even if you're in your own car, in your own driveway, it's a crime. And if you cover up with a blanket, that is also a crime. So if there's no shelter for people after 11 o'clock at night, that was documented on November 10th, then there are numbers of people who are criminals, but not criminals on the basis of anything they do, but on the basis of their status. Let's say their basic human status as a human being who has to sleep at night and keep warm. This is a abusive human rights violation. And, you know, it's amazing how many times one says this into the ether to hear the city council echo coming back, maybe next February we'll work on this. We heard David Silva say his optimistic prediction that there would be something by next February. What do you think about that, Becky?
Well, first I wanted to go back to something else Sandy Brown said that also concerned us, and that is that the county has come back and juggled their numbers to say that there are only 500 homeless in the city of Santa Cruz. And of course you can make your numbers look all that much better if you lop off on one end how many homeless people are out on the streets, and then you estimate up how many shelter bed spaces you have, and then you estimate down, you actually give bogus numbers about how many people are actually in the program, you can make it look on paper like that we have sufficient shelter space.
That's what I was afraid Keith Sugar was buying into when I heard him talking at different forums earlier on, although I think he may be more skeptical now, though I'm not quite clear of his position. There are 500 to 1,500 homeless people by my estimates, and again, the problem is, you know, where is the authority for these estimates?
Well, we had that one snapshot estimate back in 1990 that was put about 1,100 that night, and
in the city,
right, and that let's see, we've heard estimates that the ISSP program is running 10 to 20 people, more people seeking shelter this year versus last year. So from that, we say the numbers, if anything, it's gone up, not gone down in that time period.
Of course, Rotkin and other sunny apologists here would say, oh, well, that just means that people are using the ISSP now because of the fine outreach program done by the ISSP now that it's in the capable hands of Karen Gillette and Mike Bustos, see.
Well, I haven't heard any reports that it's run any better or any worse than it was before the merger. In fact, Wendy Butler is still in charge of that program, and she's the one that has a contact with the churches. And I'd say that the persons using the surface wouldn't find any huge changes from last year to this year.
Well, I know that Sandy Brown, as well as you and I, we all showed up at the Don't Sleep Tonight night, which, here's a quick report, folks, that was the November 30th night where we all kind of assembled at the town clock at 11, wrapped in blankets, encouraging the police department to arrest us to meet their quotas rather than the homeless if they had to do it, or to do their own civil disobedience and not arrest anyone. Well, apparently the police were doing their civil disobedience because there were at least four squad cars parked in different places around the town clock, and not a one of them came out to arrest us, even though we had blankets on after 11 o'clock at night, which, of course, I suppose is a fine thing, except it's always been my experience that protests are ignored by the police, who then later go on to arrest isolated and more vulnerable homeless people for exactly the same behavior, when it's even more horrendous because while we're doing it as a form of symbolic protest, they're doing it because they need to do it, and they get hassled, they get arrested, they get ticketed, ID'd, searched, they get their property confiscated.
What's more life-sustaining activity than insulating from the cold? it's just an absolutely life-sustaining activity. And apparently Laura Tucker was inspired by our 11 p.m. protest at the town clock, and has decided to pick up the banner on that and have a symbolic protest from 11 to 12 every Monday night at the town clock until the city council actually grapples with this sleeping ban and blanket ban in a way that those of us who were members of the committee to repeal the sleeping ban would consider to be our bottom line of what we expect.
You know, that's good. That means that we're going to have, I guess if we look at the protest schedule, that means on Saturday, do you know when the parade is actually going to happen on Saturday?
I have not been able to find that information. Our good times, but if previous years, I think it starts around 10.
We're talking about the Christmas parade. Before you leave, Becky, I know you're hustling to get back to your own work, but Christmas parade is at 10 on Saturday for those who want to be there. There's a series of floats, and one of them is an anti-consumer, pro-homeless float, and you might want to check that out. I'm not sure. Where does the parade begin, do you know?
I think it starts at Cathcart and then moves up towards the town clock. That's what has happened in previous years. I heard this one float, they're going to have elves in chains or something.
Elves in chains, or perhaps blankets and shreds, I don't know. Then, of course, on Monday night, there will be this Don't Sleep Tonight Memorial Weekly protest that apparently Tough Love Laura Tucker is doing. Tucker is the other member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless that was dumped at the behest of Karen Gillette. Then on Tuesday, you're going to have a city council meeting coming your way, and that's going to be at 7 o'clock, and you can actually call tonight. I still encourage people, even if you called once, call again at 429-3550, 429-3550, and then push the pound key. I know it's after hours, but actually that's easier, and say, end the sleeping ban. I want the sleeping ban eliminated before the Christmas recess happens, or we will make sure the city, and including its businesses, gets no sleep.
Yeah, let's let the homeless have human rights for Christmas.
Hey, wouldn't that be a sweet gift? You're tuned to Free Radio. Bye-bye, Becky. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Becky's left, but maybe we can get her to join us later on the phone. She was actually very, very optimistic, as was David Silva, who you heard earlier. And almost everyone I talked to, when after Catherine Byers' I Felt Completely Inadequate speech, which I believe I played a segment of on the last the last part of Bathroom Spheres Broadsides, or maybe the one before my last show. This is a twice-a-week show, by the way, folks, for those of you who don't know. 6 o'clock on Thursday until 8, and 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday until 1:30 in the afternoon. So she was very optimistic. So were the rest of opponents of the sleeping ban that I talked to. I was not at all. I thought, we're getting lots of talk, but no agendas, no timetables, no real commitments for specific programs of action, just a kind of a, you know, general goodwill sentiment, which Byers is so good at, but unfortunately it's not good enough. Now it seems she feels pressured enough, perhaps by the phone calls at 429-3550, City Council, press the pound key, that all you folks have been turning in. And that may have made some difference. I think it has to have made some difference. But I don't think it's made enough difference yet. And I'm thinking that what we need to do is really make a showing downtown. And the way to do that is to organize it. I'm going to be out there at 1 o'clock tomorrow at a table in front of New Leaf or Blockbuster Video if it's raining. And then again at 5:30 trying to organize. I encourage you to come on down, help out. We're going to try to get people to sign petitions. More important, to volunteer for a campaign of civil disobedience downtown and of loud civil information to shoppers to let them know just what kind of a community they're patronizing here in Santa Cruz, a community that will not allow its poorest people to sleep at night, all for the kind of vain hope of getting more shoppers to town. I mean, it is the merchants that are the biggest stumbling block to changing this law. That seems to me to be obviously the case. It's been the case for decades, and they've got to step out of the way with this one, or we've got to step in their way. It seems to me that's really the way to go, and it's also the way to get media attention on this issue. I'm not talking about illegal behavior. I'm talking about perfectly legal political protest that persuades people to boycott bigotry downtown. And that's what I'm going to be proposing, and that's what I'm going to be suggesting tomorrow at 1 o'clock and at 5:30, assuming I don't get too much sicker than I am. I'm in kind of, I don't have walking pneumonia like Keith Sugar has apparently, or had, but I, you know, I have one of those colds that probably 98% of you out there have. But speaking of Sugar, let's review what happened last night on radio station KZSC. You'll get some idea. The sleeping ban was brought up, and I will interrupt Sugar and Crone. It was mostly Sugar who talked about it. And I guess the host was Michael somebody of Talk About. And we'll hear what's actually being said around this issue. And then I'll read you some communications I had with Sugar this morning about suggestions we had around what supposedly is going to be proposed on Tuesday. So hang with us here.
Here we have, you know, a real block, and I guess you have to be careful coming in. You can't promise all this stuff, and you're always, I think, going to be a little bit more cautious and conservative than you are when you're running. I mean, have you felt that? I mean, you've got some bold plans. Are we going to pass like a living wage law? Are we going to be, you know, are there going to be some dramatic changes, or do you have to be kind of cautious and judicious as you go about your business?
Yeah, I think the best way to answer that is to say that, you know, consistent with our positions on the campaign, everything has to be looked at with a critical eye. Everything has to be subjected to critical analysis. Will there be sweeping changes?
Yes.
If they're consistent with the best interests of the city, after we look at it with a very, very critical eye and full, and I underline full, community input.
That will probably be the biggest change that we're going to
democratizing the process.
Full community input at every
turn. This is Chris Crone.
And seek to not forget about who brought us and who elected us.
Okay, we got a call. We'll get back to that.
Hi, you're on Talk About.
I just wanted to address the point about bringing in full community involvement and relate that to the sleeping ban and the criminalization of people getting some rest who can't afford to pay for other means besides sleeping in a car or a sleeping bag or something, and I just want to know what the new members of the city council,
there you go, how about the old
what they have
band
to say about that, and what, because I, from my understanding, it's like a very late hour for this concern. They've been putting it off and the repeal, so I just wanted to hear what you guys had to say about that.
Great, thanks.
You're welcome.
How about the old sleeping ban?
Yeah,
favorite symbolic issue of our city, I guess.
That's right. The sleeping ban is in its current form is I think unworkable. Unworkable for the reason that it is simply not, I think, humane to be rousting people who are simply trying to seek shelter from the rain. My attitude could possibly be different on that issue if, in fact, we had beds for everybody. If we had accessible beds, if we had safe beds, if we had clean beds for everybody. But I don't believe that's the case. And as long as that's the case, I feel very ill at ease with an ordinance that criminalizes, the act of sleeping. Now,
it's hard to rouse somebody if you have nowhere to rouse them to. I mean, it is inhumane in a way.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of the things that we're doing is we're looking for alternatives to the sleeping ban because, you know, look, we want to protect the rights of the homeless, and we also want to protect the rights of everyone else who lives here. You know, we want to protect the rights of residents. We want to protect the rights of business. And
you're up against the old slippery slope. I mean, it was always Rodkin's thing. If you're too nice to them, or if you let them do it, then they all come in, they all hear about it on this hobo email list or something, and they all come in from all over, and they know we're an easy town, and then you get you up to your neck with them. I mean, that was the slippery slope, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't really buy into that.
No, I
don't really buy into that at all. I think there's a way to decriminalize sleeping without compromising the interests of businesses or core residents who historically have complained about, you know, the homeless and that sort of thing. And we're working on several ideas. I think it's critical, though, that we be given the time to, again, look at this critically and make a sound analysis of what needs to be done. I don't want to simply act on this thing impulsively and then come up with a situation that nobody's happy with. I think there's a win-win situation out there.
And that's something we're going to look hard at.
We have already begun that process of looking hard. We have to have short-term and long-term solutions here.
Right.
Short-term, we need to make sure there's safe and secure places for people to sleep, and we need to make the case to the people of Santa Cruz that people are not safe and secure in sleeping and go about looking for those places. Right. The long-term, we have to...
I'm interrupting this statement by Chris Krohn that you're hearing on last night's KZSC show. This is one of the things that's made me very discouraged. This is the same kind of rhetoric which Mike Rotkin uses about safe places for people to sleep. It's clear there aren't safe places for people to sleep, period. There are more than 750 homeless people out there tonight, some say up to 1,500, and there are less than 200 spaces. I mean, that's simple arithmetic. And it's also simple arithmetic that they're not going to find 700 spaces in the next 2 weeks. And so the obvious thing is you decriminalize it, or else you accept the fact that the criminalization continues. Or, I don't know, you put the police to work on other projects where they can't go after homeless people, or you arm the homeless people. I don't know what you do. But you have to have some straightforward approach to this issue, which doesn't sit around and talk about developing a community consensus. You don't need a community consensus to assert basic human rights. In fact, community consensus has nothing to do with basic human rights. Basic human rights are basic human rights. That's, for example, why you have courts, because courts don't rely on majority rule. Now, we already have majority rule, ironically, which is behind this. The majority has voted. 61% of the Santa Cruz population has voted for these four council members, all of whom say they oppose the sleeping ban. Time for them to vote against the sleeping ban. Not to form committees, not to discuss it, not to put out kind of meaningless resolutions, not to hope the police pay some attention, but to end the sleeping ban. It's very simple. They have the votes. They can end the sleeping ban. And when you hear Krohn talking instead about consensus and building a community opinion, this kind of stuff makes me very apprehensive. Continuing.
Everybody, you want to get that call?
No, go ahead.
We have to include everybody: business, students, residents, you know, community members,
homeowners,
activists, homeless people in this dialogue.
Right.
We have to bring those people together in the next few months and solve this.
Right. But if you want to send a symbolic message to where you're at and what's going on, and it's going to be different, that's the thing to change. It's going to get people. Hi, you're on Talk About.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sure.
Before the previous call, I was sitting here trying to figure out how to turn the water issue into the sleeping ban issue, and I was going to comment how just to go speak at city council, a disabled person has to go without taking their pills because their water fountain there has been shut down to keep homeless people from sleeping there at night and keep homeless people away. So we're not only changing the sleeping ban, but we have a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of bad habits from this bad, inhumane law being in place along that we have to change. So it's going to be a long, hard struggle. I mean, you know, when they're discriminating against disabled people, even being able to take pills so they keep homeless people away, you know, we're fighting up against a lot of bad habits. So I wish you guys a lot of luck. You know what you have to do. You know, I got you all on videotape with all your promises. Not to worry, I can show it to you and tell me what. And good luck.
Are you making an audio tape of this one?
I have a friend making an audio tape of this one. Thank you.
Appreciate that, David.
I also have the 1996, the old council's campaign promises on tape, too, if you guys want to see those. So I have them all.
That and what, $2 will get you a really good latte?
No, just come over and have some tea. This is David Silva.
Yeah, sure.
And that was an unfortunate call from David Silva to the show. He admitted afterward, he kind of apologized for that call. Notice again the unfortunate terms which the dialogue is framed, as though it's a long, hard struggle. There's no long, hard struggle. It's a quick, simple vote. Four votes, say, end the sleeping ban. And then As one person suggested to me a moment ago, you ask forgiveness. You don't ask permission for human rights. If people don't like it, you ask forgiveness. But first you do it, and then you argue about it later. And then if there's dispute about it, then you can hold hearings and discussions to amend and reform. In the first instance, your responsibility is to guarantee people their human rights this winter. It's really, you know, pretty straightforward as far as I'm concerned. David didn't quite get that issue in as he spoke to the city council members. However, the next caller did.
God, Chris knew it was David, and I didn't.
You didn't?
I feel bad now.
You should feel bad, Keith. No, I think you guys are doing a great job. That was a great call hearing from the Luna Tree.
Sure.
You know, and the issue of water is really so important. I struggled here to make the tie-in to water because I thought we were just on a tree thing, but it's nice to know we're trees and people and life, and I think we're entering a creative era in this town with this new council. We'll be able to do some creative solutions. I see business people coming in and being excited about trying to help on the homeless issue. I really have a lot of high hopes with this new city council.
Good.
Congratulations.
Thanks
guys.
For calling.
Unfortunately, we need more than high hopes. We need some real action, and that is not yet in the stars, on the paper, or even on the agenda, which, of course, is the issue for those of us outside. I'm not one of them, but there are a lot of them out there, and that's the one that has to be brought up. High hopes don't do it. Best wishes don't do it. Friendly comments don't do it. I'm not quite sure what is going to do it. I'd suggest high-profile demonstrations downtown might be a good first step. In any case, the next caller is a familiar voice.
City Council's money will grow on trees, right? You're listening to KZSC Santa Cruz, and we're here with Keith Sugar and Christopher Crone. We're talking about the new Santa Cruz City Council. Give us a call, 459-4036. There's only one phone line, and so if somebody's on it, just wait your turn. Hi, you're on Talk About.
Hi, a minute ago you talked about...
I'll turn your radio down, will you? Okay, go ahead.
The living wage ordinance being...
And actually, this is not the familiar caller that I was hoping to hear, and I'm going to kind of let this pass because my interest in the show is not so much in the living wage, although it's good to have a living wage. I could go for that. I think that would be helpful, definitely, and perhaps even definitely a necessity. But again, we're talking about the crisis for people outside at the moment. Anyway, there were more callers on the sleeping ban, and some of them were less gentle than David Silva. And to the point they actually got what appeared to be some kind of commitments. We'll tune back into this conversation.
Just some quick background on living wage. Living wage is an issue that's being talked about in many cities, and it's been passed in several cities, including Boston, Oakland, and Los Angeles. In Los Angeles and San Jose. San Jose, the living wage is put at $9.75 an hour plus 50 cents or $1 an hour for benefits, and if you don't provide benefits, it's pegged at $10.50 an hour. We are beginning that process here in Santa Cruz to talk about a living wage and what a living wage would be in the city of Santa Cruz. And yes, that will be on the agenda in this new council session.
Great, and that was me that called it radical, nobody else. But it's really kind of where we're at right now in terms of community planning. It seems like an interesting idea. Hi, you're on Talk About.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I wanted to call and talk to the council members about the upcoming vote on fluoridation of our city waters. And even though they're not going to be, it's an initiative effort to ban the use of our water system to deliver anything that has a medical or physical intent, I'd one like to know where they stand on the issue, and also if there's a way that the city council could help make this help the dialogue happen in the community around it with sponsoring a forum, but to be more actively engaged in a very important civic discussion, I guess.
Okay, thanks. Fluoridation.
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier about subjecting everything that comes before the council to a critical analysis, not just a political analysis, and there simply seems to be no hard science backing up the claims that on a cost benefit analysis or all other things being equal, fluoridation is necessary or a good idea.
Right.
So I don't think that's going to be a tough call. I think I'm really you know.
Fluoridation's a communist plot, always has been.
$120,000 it's going to cost for that special election. I'm really worried about that. But that's the decision that the previous council made. I think it was a prudent one. I think it was well debated and well discussed. But it's just a shame that we have to spend $120,000 for a special election.
Is the state pushing that on us?
No, but if we get a mandate or a majority of votes from the people, it will be much more difficult to overturn, as I understand, in court if the state at some point in the future comes down on us.
Hi, you're on Talk About.
Hi, I'll tell you what's a real shame is that the city of Santa Cruz just spent about $100,000 for an environmental impact report for a skate park they're not even going to build. That's
right on, man.
Absurd.
Totally agree.
Also, I wanted to comment on the downtown ordinances and how repressive I feel they are in people's civil liberties. You get tickets for sitting down on, you know, on a concrete block there, like a, what they call a planter box. It's basically like a curb around a tree, and you get a ticket for that. You have to get dragged through the court system, and you'll probably be found guilty. These downtown ordinances need to be repealed as well as... Also, one possible solution, speaking of downtown, to this water crisis is to get rid of those people spraying the sidewalk. You know, they spend $50,000 a year to spray the sidewalk, and that's, you know, a huge waste of water. So there's a lot that needs to be done.
All right, thanks for calling. So you guys are never going to come back, are you?
Good points. Oh, very good points.
We have the best callers of any talk show ever.
You do, and they ask tough questions.
No, it is tough. I got a ticket today. You get a ticket if you, I can find something to do downtown that takes more than 2 hours or 3 hours now. And that, I mean, the parking changed. It's a lot rougher down there. People are complaining about sitting around, the skateboarding. I mean, it's not like come down and spend money in our downtown. I mean, not for me.
Well, there's an old mindset that says that the way to regulate is to criminalize, and you know, I don't believe that. I think that we, yes,
skateboarding is not a crime.
Skateboarding, my friend, is not a crime.
Skateboarding is a warning.
Well, you know, look, let me put it this way. Depending on where you skateboard, skateboarding is not a crime. I mean, if you aim for, you know, a bunch of people on walkers and in wheelchairs and, you know, I mean, but that kind of behavior is by far the exception rather than the norm. I think that there is a way to accommodate everyone's uses of the downtown without necessarily criminalizing this and criminalizing that.
Just a more welcome attitude internally, like, you are a people coming down here, you know, we don't want to tack $12 onto your experience. Hi, you're on Talk About. We're moving along here. Hi, you're on Talk About.
Hi there.
Hi.
Really, first I want to congratulate your city council candidates who've become victorious for showing up in front of the public. Hey there, guys.
Can I just say to that last caller, I would like them to know that skateboarding will be a high priority, and I hope you come out and push us and cajole us and make us do the right thing on skateboarding. We either need a temporary skateboard park or we need a permanent skateboard park.
Now. Good. That's interesting. Okay, go ahead, Cole.
Yeah, I'm all for a skateboard park now as well. And I also want to bring up a couple other issues. The first one, of course, is one that's already been raised before, which is the sleeping ban. It's all very well to talk about studying the issue and getting everybody involved and getting everybody agreed, and I think that's important and a good thing to do. The real question is, with one council meeting left in the year, are you guys going to push for a special session, let's say, on the 15th, so you can take some significant changes so that police will not be towing the vehicles of people who are living in them and are forced to do so? Because, as you pointed out, Keith, there is a significant and admitted shelter discrepancy between the people that they're actually available for to go into shelters. I said a shelter space that's available, which is less than 200 for emergency, and 500 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz. We've got that, you know, horrible discrepancy and the horrible weather we have. And I don't think this can wait for, you know, a long discussion over the winter. And a lot of us really feel, as you know, as we've talked about this before, that the issue needs some immediate action on the Tuesday agenda, which doesn't really boil down to, you know, simply getting the churches to hope to offer a few more spaces or to have a commission get together to talk about it. Why not?
Yeah.
Because you need decriminalization over the winter so that the many hundreds of people who are out there are not in fear of tickets every night, are not in fear of having their vans towed, are not in fear of being arrested and having their property confiscated.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, why not look for the extra beds?
Oh, that's fine.
I got no problem with that, as long as you're also addressing this other issue at your December 8th City Council meeting, which is the last council meeting of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
otherwise
I think
we're all stuck
be,
out, you know, out
yeah.
through the winter with, you know, police essentially harassing people, because that's been the major complaint around the sleeping ban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think we are going to be taking some action on Tuesday.
Uh-huh. Can you give us any thoughts about what that might be? I know you may not know exactly, but, you know, along what lines? Or?
Right now, well, we're looking at, again, as I said, we're looking at revising it perhaps by February. But what we're looking at on an interim basis is basically coming to an understanding with the community and with the police that the sleeping ban is really not something that needs to be enforced absent some sort of disruptive or criminal type behavior. And I don't mean criminal within the meaning of a sleeping ban.
It's certainly not like perjury with an intern. You know? I mean,
right.
Come on.
Right. I mean, you know, what we are communicating, what we intend to communicate to the police is that this is really to receive the absolute low enforcement of the sleeping ban. Is to receive the absolutely lowest priority.
And that's the best it can do.
Yeah, and until we, you know, because we're new in this job. I mean, we haven't even been to a real council meeting yet. Until we can craft something that is going to withstand a court challenge, something that will withstand the complaints and criticisms of the business community. You know, and it's not just that we want to withstand the complaints and criticisms of the business community. It would be nice if we could reach consensus. I believe consensus is out there, but you don't get consensus by simply acting without knowing what all the facts is,
sure.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Are you suggesting then that what you plan to do is to, you feel that you can actually, is there a mechanism for holding the police to that kind of standard through the winter when they've never done that before? What kind of prospects do you...
I'm holding the police to what kind of standard?
To a standard as well. The hope I would have is if the police are being told, don't arrest people for sleeping who have no place to go
mm-hmm.
for numerous reasons because they have their own shelters.
Especially
in December
and January.
Shelters are unsuitable because there's obviously a lack of space. You can't tell the police what to do because you're the city council and the city manager makes those rules. I guess what you can do is you're thinking of some kind of resolution whereby you would say ticket only on complaint if there's a serious health or public safety hazard and other laws are being violated or something of that sort?
Yeah, what we're thinking about is simply, passing a resolution that you know, at least in the interim, tells the police that there are much better things to do than to harass the homeless. And unless, again, they're causing some kind of criminal, unless there's some kind of criminal conduct going on, it is to receive the absolute lowest priority in terms of enforcement.
I think that's really a positive step, and I think I might also suggest to you that you might want to consider long-term changes for agenda activity, wherein, like in Santa Barbara and Santa Monica, citizens can put on the agenda items which here in Santa Cruz, for example, only council members can. And just this whole process of opening up oral communications will, I think, you know, broaden that discussion and debate. And
thanks, caller.
Yeah, thanks, good.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. All right, the number again, 459-4036. We've got two city council members here, and we're throwing everything at them. And first we congratulate them, and then we say, well, yeah, what have you done for me lately? And, no, it's great to have you guys come in, and everybody call up if they got any questions, any issues. There's certainly a lot of stuff out there. Is there any stuff that gets you guys really excited, that you're really ready to jump in on, and any real vision out there for what you can do?
Garbage.
Garbage. That's
what people think of as garbage. Discards. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We need to unfill the landfill. Uh-huh. We need to stop filling up land. I mean, that really excites me.
Uh-huh.
And it's good that Christopher Crone, councilmember, is excited by dealing with landfill and garbage and problems. And, of course, they're all very excited about stopping the beach boardwalk giveaway and returning and rescinding the decision of the November City Council, the old Rotkin Matthews Kennedy Council, to give away the beach boardwalk Tidewater property, or the Tidewater property to the beach boardwalk. That's good. I'm glad they're rescinding it. Why can't they also rescind the sleeping ban on the same agenda? They're going to do that on December 8th. Why not the sleeping ban? And I felt very positive when I heard this show originally, when I talked to Keith Sugar on the air, and when I talked to him the next day, this morning, about the issue. But again, after talking to several other people, including former attorney Ray Glock-Grunick, who has fought the sleeping ban and the camping ban for two decades, and talking to Sandy Brown, who, and to Paul Brindell of the Community Action Board, I mean, some of the thoughts that came up were, some were positive, some were negative, but if all they have on the agenda for December 8th is a sort of a ode to the police, please don't ticket people during the winter, we urge you not to do that, at least one very well-placed service provider who doesn't want to give her his name has told me that's bullshit. They already say they're not ticketing people except on complaint. The police do. The police already say that they've made it the lowest priority. The police already say all these that they're doing this already, and so they're gonna continue doing exactly what they did before. So I sent a memo to Keith Sugar. Can you dig it? A memo this morning. I'm gonna dig it out of this pile of papers here so I can read you what I recommended they do. I mean, I recommend that we demand they end the sleeping ban on December 8th, at least with a first reading. No ifs, ands, ors, or buts. But in the event that they don't, this is what I suggested. I said to them, what is really needed in the current shelter crisis, a well-established fact under resolutions from the City Council from 1990, 1995, and 1998, all still ongoing resolutions, is a suspension of the entire camping ban so that people can actually shelter themselves from the cold and the elements. I mean, it's really kind of ridiculous to say, well, you can sleep, but, you know, don't put up a tent. You got to stay wet out there, or you got to trespass on somebody else's property. Or, I mean, in other words, I'm saying that what you really need is not only abolition of the camping ban, but you need sheltering spaces for people, optional sheltering spaces, or the right of people to make their own shelters. I'm not suggesting that be put on the agenda. That would be too radical, heavens to Betsy. But a bare minimum is that people not be arrested for the basically taking the human right seriously and doing the human need that has to be done every night of sleeping and covering up with blankets. That cannot be negotiable. If that's negotiable, you got nothing else to you got nowhere to go but, you know, but the grave. I mean, there has to be, that's the bottom line. You have to start there at least with that as a basic human right. And I continued in this letter, I didn't say that, I'm just giving you that as my extempore speech, but the Community Action Board, a knowledgeable service provider that has regularly surveyed homeless needs in the city and county, operates under a policy that it is inappropriate to enforce the camping ban, get this, the camping ban, not just the sleeping ban, but this Community Action Board, which is a very sort of staid, liberal organization in town, has asserted that the camping ban, the entire camping ban itself, should not be enforced as long as there is inadequate shelter. It's not just you shouldn't arrest people for sleeping, but you shouldn't arrest people for camping and putting up a tent. This is established wisdom among shelter providers who have their heads screwed on straight and who are not, you know, lapping at the butt or at the fount of funding, as some shelter providers are. But this one is not, and it says this. Basic human rights concerns and the existing shelter crisis both require, at the very least, that the council can do on December 8th, that's next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, when you should show up there with your blanket, everybody, is to repeal these two odious provisions, the blanket ban and the sleeping ban. Two council sessions would be required, possibly a special one on December 15th and after the December 8th session for the second reading of repealing the sleeping and blanket bans, and the action would prompt controversy. It is a crucial time for those outside, and the issue cannot wait. The initiative, the Sleeping Ban Repeal Initiative, has been thoroughly debated and examined. It got more than 3,000 signatures asking to be put on the ballot. It was endorsed by virtually all the organizations that supported the victorious council majority. And more to the point, it is a minimum and moderate proposal. Probably too moderate. Council is reportedly considering the proposal that police be given a directive to enforce the camping ban or its sleeping and blanket provisions as the lowest priority, only on complaint, etc. Police and their potential allies claim that this is already the case. Police will probably construe council failure to act on the minimal sleeping blanket ban repeal as a form of council ambivalence, and they will continue their current policy of harassment. I interrupt my reading here to catch a phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, is this the Uncle Dennis show?
I'm sorry?
I thought Uncle Dennis was on Thursday nights.
This is Bathrop Spears Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor.
Oh, Uncle Dennis show starts at 9. Huh. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fine. Thank you very much. Again, I'm reading a memo to Keith Sugar and other council members trying to get them to put something tougher on the agenda. They don't want to put the sleeping and blanket bans on the agenda. So I suggest that. That said, and with the understanding that we feel the sleeping and blanket ban repeal is really the minimum acceptable option, we recommend the following proposals if the council majority wants to go with the resolution rather than the law change approach. 1. Specify in the resolution that police giving tickets or issuing move-on orders do so, 1. As the lowest priority, and 2. Only on complaint where bona fide interests are being affected and some real danger to health and safety exists. We recommend the following proposals, exists. The police department should be instructed to note down, A. the complainant, the name of the person complaining, and B. the specific danger alleged to health and safety. City Council 2. City Council set up and empower a working group that will meet weekly beginning December 15th, which includes a council member, homeless advocates, homeless people, and a police officer. This group will take any complaints about police harassment or citation under the camping and blanket bans and under the equivalent Parks and Rec statutes. There's a Parks and Rec law that does the same thing. Makes it illegal to sleep at night. City Council shall ask the Police Department and Parks and Rec Department to forward within 3 working days any camping ban type citations. A public roster shall be kept of these citations. The City Attorney shall be directed to suspend all prosecutions under the camping ban law and the parallel Parks and Rec statute. Now, when I talked to Keith Sugar, he told me that that was impossible, but he doesn't think the City Attorney covers those prosecutions. I'm pretty sure he's wrong about that issue. I'm reading a memo that I wrote to Keith Sugar and other council members today urging them to tighten up anything they put on the agenda. In fact, forget putting anything on the agenda except for the bare minimum, at least go for the sleeping and blanket ban repeals. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrop's Pierre Robert Norris, and I am scrambling to look for the call-in number, because there's a show beginning on television, Channel 71, Voices from the Village, which has, get this, 3 council members on the air. And those council members are Byers, Fitzmaurice, and Crone. And you can call them up. You don't have to talk to me. You know my opinion already. You can talk to those council members, and you can tell them what you think of this sleeping ban law and demand that they take action on the 8th. And that they have a special session on the 15th to deal with this issue, not next week, not next year. But unfortunately, I'm missing the call-in number, so maybe I can get my producer to call me with the call-in number again, because it appears that in my haste, I have mislaid it. So here we have an incoming call. Hi there. 425-4920. That's 425-4920. I want to thank you, producer, for calling in. 425-4920 is Voices from the Village, and that is on currently on cable television, Channel 71, for those of you who are ritzy enough to have cable. And on that show is council members Byers, Fitzmaurice, and Crone. Those are 3 of the 4 votes that supposedly are committed to ending the sleeping ban. Tell them to act now, not later. Or else perhaps possibly put everybody up at their house. I don't know. So that's something you can do, something I hope you do. And more important, I hope you show up at council meeting on the 8th and that you call the city council. You can call them now. Even if you've called them before, call them again. Tell them don't sell out to these dream proposals about hoping the police are going to do something if they feel like it. Or, you know, gee, let's hope they all get humane all of a sudden. 429-3550 is the city council number. Put the sleeping and blanket bans on the ballot on the 8th. And I guess the other suggestions I had to do with this resolution. You heard my ideas on that. We obviously need a continuing monitoring body throughout the winter. If the police department is going to be entrusted itself with being nice to the homeless. you know, it's really a a stretch for me to believe that's going to happen for a number of reasons. I mean, it's interesting. You heard at the beginning of the hour Frank Ross talk about being ticketed for having a paper. But what you didn't hear, what you, or those of you who are new to this show don't know, is that another man got a ticket a month before Frank Ross, Anthony Douglas, for selling Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper, in front of the Cinema 9. His papers were confiscated. He was told not to sell papers. He was given a $162 ticket. We immediately phoned the mayor and sent a letter to the city council, which was forwarded to the police chief. And the police chief immediately apologized, had ordered the papers returned, and said that this is a wrong use of this ordinance, because the ordinance actually specifically exempts selling papers. It's one of those nasty downtown ordinances that are supposed to make sure that nobody but merchants in their shops get to sell anything downtown, even if people are starving and hungry and constitute no meaningful competitive threat to the businesses whatsoever. It's one of those nasty gentrification laws, anti-homeless, anti-hippie laws, that we want this council to overturn, and as soon as possible. The downtown ordinances need to go. The police chief had already informed us that it was legal. He informed us that he knew, and we presume he informed his police force. I mean, that's what would assume to be the natural response. Of course, he hadn't, because Frank Ross got a ticket shortly thereafter from, he got a ticket from a Parks and Rec ranger, so that was not on Belcher's police force. He can't be blamed for that. And from, you heard that long interview, a California Highway Patrol officer, a female officer, gave him another ticket. Again, not the direct responsibility of Belcher, but Belcher's officer did ticket Steve Argue, drag him to the ground, put him in handcuffs, take him off to jail for four days total, and pumped up additional charges against him, including felony charges of terrorist threats, all of which disappeared within 4 days. This is Belcher's firm and clear policy of informing his police department about what the laws of Santa Cruz are. Not very reassuring. Not very reassuring for homeless people under the sleeping ban either, I would have to say. Similarly, we know that Officer Malate, who supposedly trains the hosts downtown, has been observed harassing an old man downtown with false readings on the panhandling ordinance. I think I've talked about this before. John Telfair, a 68-year-old man, was told, maybe what I should do is read my letter to the Citizens Police Review Board, which I recently wrote on this issue, and I'm turning it out as a flyer under the rather colorful title. Where the hell is it? It's called A Letter to the Citizens Police Review Board. Oh, boy. Harassing Old Men Downtown. And I guess I may have to paraphrase it, because I'm having trouble actually locating it. But the gist of it is, and I think I've